Day, good people. Contemplative Inner Being and me, Robert Farrell, are happy to welcome you to Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is a series of honest, inclusive, and contemplative reflections to encounter pure presence and discover deep inner connection to goodness, truth, and beauty. Wisdom is not knowing more, but knowing with more of you, knowing deeper. Wisdom may be experienced as a quiet leap of joy in the heart, absolute clarity in the mind, or a deep centeredness in the body. Contemplation, like the wisdom path, is an exercise in openness and keeping heart, mind, and body open long enough for us to touch what is deepest in us. With words, music, and silence, let us drop into our hearts and be present. Find a comfortable sitting position. Perhaps light a candle. If comfortable and you're not driving, close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Then please repeat out loud. I open my heart to love. I open my heart to wisdom. I am present. I am. A revival. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is God's work, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The rejected must lead the revival for love and justice. Scripture supports those on the margins leading justice movements. The cornerstone is that part of the foundation upon which the whole building stands. It is God's intent that the stones that were once seen as unfit to be a part of the architecture, the stones that were once thrown away or kept in the quarry, have now been called to be the most important stones. The rejected stones make the best cornerstones. The rejected stones actually make the best foundation holders. And whenever you see rejected stones becoming the focus of society, it is the Lord's doing. Identify with those on society's margins. Start such a ministry that is outside the mainstream. And then we realize the mainstream isn't really main. Jesus lived among the rejected. He ministered among the rejected. He died and was crucified as rejected, as somebody who was outside the political power structure. He led a resurrection movement, a revival of love, a revival of justice, a revival of mercy, a revival of grace. We can renew the church when we stop thinking of it as an institution and start thinking of it as a movement. It is a rediscovering of itself as a movement of Jesus. Jesus did not establish an institution, though institutions can serve his cause. He did not organize a political party, though his teachings have a profound impact on politics. Jesus did not even found a religion. No, Jesus became a movement, fueled by his Spirit, a movement whose purpose was and is to change the face of the earth from the nightmare it often is into the dream that God intends. If you look at the Bible, you cannot help but notice that there really is a movement of God in the world. The movement is Christ-centered, completely focused on Jesus and His way. Long before Christianity was ever called the Church or even Christianity, it was called the Way. Following the way of Jesus, they abolished poverty and hunger in their community. They simply shared everything they had. The movement moved them in that particular way. They found themselves becoming a countercultural community, one where Jews and Gentiles, circumcised and uncircumcised, had equal standing. Ministry in this movement has to serve more than an institution. It has to serve the movement. Rest in this knowing. Love together. The Holy Spirit comes to and into us as disciples, enabling us to speak in such a way that others, no matter where they come from or what language they speak, can understand. That Spirit is at work today, and we can still feel the power in unity. That Spirit gives us the power to cry justice in the face of oppression and claim human rights as our inheritance and grow our movement. When we cry out in protest, we hear, see, and feel the Spirit moving. This fulfills what is proclaimed, that in God's kingdom, young and old, men and women, and especially the poor, will prophesy. To prophesy is to carry a message of the mind of God to a particular situation. God's mind is always on justice, on the end of oppression, on fully living. The Holy Spirit unites us and imparts the ability to deliver a message. The Holy Spirit is moving in our midst. The greatest manifestation of the power of God comes when we work together to find ways to be together and do justice together and love together and stand together. The power of the Holy Spirit is in the miracle of black and white people worshiping together, men and women preaching together, and decrying racism and sexism by their very presence in one place. The Spirit still moves when we move past our prejudices and differences. God's unconditional love is itself a movement that transforms us. The whole human project pivots around divine love. God loves people so they can change. It is difficult to comprehend or receive divine love. Divine love is a larger life, an energy and movement that we can participate in, and then, almost in spite of ourselves, we behave differently. It is because God loves us that we can return the love. God does not love us because we are good. God loves us because God is good. The new pattern looks like this: mistake, consolation, conversion. God's justice is restorative. In each case, after the Israelites' transgressions against Yahweh, the prophets teach us, and here's what Yahweh will do for you. God will now love you more than ever. God will love you into wholeness. God will pour upon you a gratuitous, unbelievable, unaccountable, irrefutable love that you will finally be unable to resist. The shame of your youth you shall forget. my love shall never fall away from you. Inside the divine logic, the answer to failure is, in fact, more love. Divine love is the interpretive key to everything. Loved people do good things. Rest in this knowing. The infinite flow. What happens when a human civilization's dominant consciousness runs its course? What if the growth of the new movement, the new humanity, the new social creation or construction depends on the old one losing its hegemony? This resonates with the Hebrew scriptures. Feel the echoes of Isaiah speaking of God doing a new thing, something fresh springing forth, so that there will be good news for the poor, recovery of sight for the blind, freedom for the incarcerated and oppressed. Hear the prophet imagining a promised time when weapons are recycled into farm equipment because nobody studies war anymore. Hear Ezekiel's oracle about a new heart, a heart of flesh that replaces the heart of stone. Hear Amos envisioning a time when a river of justice rolls down from the heights, filling the lowest places first. Hear Micah relativizing everything except doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly before God. A long succession of prophets are giving us a vision for a new movement being born. This new emerging consciousness is bigger than any single religion. It is bigger than religion as a whole. It issues an invitation to all religions, all economies, all educational and political systems, all arts, all trades, all sciences and technologies, everything. It is a spiritual movement that encompasses everything. Wherever you invest your life, may it be in this larger movement, laboring for the birth of something new. Embrace the long view and find the deep current, the infinite flow. Rest in this knowing. Slowly bring your awareness back to your surroundings. Take a gentle, deep breath and let it out slowly. You're invited to take time to journal, draw, or dance, any expression to today's wisdom experience. Until next week, we bless you with grace and love. And may you see the truth about yourself, no matter how beautiful it is. May peace fill your life, so love will overflow. Peace to all, light to all, love to all.